الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد، أشرف الخلق عليك وأكرم الخلق لديك حبيبك ومصطفاك، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين خير آل، وصحبه الأكرمين خير صحب، ومن تبعهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين، وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والنفع والانتفاع والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله ومرضاته وقربه وثوابه سبحانه وتعالى. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We're continuing our study of this book titled ماهية التصوف وسمات أهله, Sufism, Its Essence and the Traits of Its People, written by Al-Habib Umar bin Hafiz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and bless him. And we've looked over the course of these lessons, the definition of tasawwuf, the meaning of Sufism, tasawwuf, and the importance of properly defining it and understanding it. And then we began looking at the 10 traits of the people of the spiritual path, the true and real Sufis, the people who are the true people of the path of tasawwuf. They all have these 10 traits. And we've looked so far at five of them: knowledge of the book and sunnah, their concern with the attributes and actions of the heart and beautifying their heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third trait is sincerity, ikhlas. The fourth trait is trueness, sidq. And the fifth trait that we looked at was humility, having humility of heart. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to focus on the sixth trait, the sixth of 10 traits, which is ma'rifatul fadl li ahlihi wa nabdhal hasad, recognizing the people of honor and eliminating envy. And this is an extremely important trait and virtue, which is obviously, as the first trait, knowledge of the book and sunnah, indicates, is firmly rooted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and in the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And especially in today's world, where people are losing the proper measures by which they understand things, it's important to realize the place of recognizing people of honor, what that means, and how it is part of the etiquette of a Muslim, and especially one who seeks high degrees on the spiritual path, to recognize people of honor. And this is part of adab. This is part of having proper manners and etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in following in the footsteps of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in addition to that, it's related very closely to eliminating envy, removing envy from the hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn us with beautiful qualities and heal us from these debilitating diseases of the heart, and restore the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within his ummah. So the author says, one of their most distinctive traits, i.e. the Sufis, the people of the spiritual path, one of their most distinctive traits, while maintaining a good opinion of and believing in the good of all Muslims, is to treat people according to their status or according to their rank, acknowledging the honor due to people and being content when Allah distinguishes whomever He wills with a blessing, distinction, and honor from Him. So this is very important, is that while having a good opinion of all Muslims and believing in the good of all Muslims, what does that mean? It means that when you see that someone is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that someone has been given the gift of iman, that your opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your desire for good for that person is that you have a good opinion of them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will grant them great good in the hereafter, and that you identify and recognize the good in them. And every human being has good and bad, but that you look for that good and you maintain a good opinion of them and you believe well in them, and then simultaneously is to treat people according to their status. What does that mean? It means that you honor and preserve the sanctity that every human being has. So sometimes when people hear this, they say that you give someone honor, they somehow assume that that automatically means that you're taking honor away from someone else, that everything has to be on this level playing field, and that to recognize an honor that someone is given means that you're not recognizing some good in another person. That's not what it means. But for example, your father has a particular honor that your sibling doesn't have. There's a certain treatment that you have towards your father that you do not see as the same treatment or the same level of honor or respect given to a sibling, even though sibling is deserving of respect. The honor and distinction given to a mother is also unique and distinct from the honor given to a father, and so forth. And that even where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places people in society is important. And we even have in our Sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he encouraged people that even when they get married, not to have huge differences between the status of spouses. Why? Because as the butterflies and all of the excitement starts to become normalized and washes away and real life settles back in, people are going to notice those differences again. Oh, you know, I used to have this kind of food all of the time and now we can't afford it. Or I'm used to this particular kind of treatment and I'm no longer afforded that kind of treatment. So even in marriage, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam encouraged us to take these things into consideration. So it is acknowledging the honor due to people and being content with what Allah distinguishes them with of blessings, distinctions, and honor from Him. And actually the people of Allah, the people of the spiritual path, when they saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed a person with a particular blessing, they would actually be happy for them. And they would actually thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their behalf. And they would be happy at the good that takes place that Allah gives to someone else, not just themselves. And this also relates to eliminating envy. And this is found, this is a character trait of the heart. This is an action of the heart to really recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of blessings. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of gratitude for every blessing that is given to all of creation. And this is found in a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, which is a sunnah to recite every morning and evening, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam would say, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik. O Allah, whatever in the morning we would say asbaha, and in the night we would say ma amsa. So for this time of night we would say, Allahumma ma amsa bi min ni'matik. O Allah, whatever blessings I enter the night into the night with, from the blessings that you have given to me, or the blessings that you give to anyone in your creation, فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. That blessing is from you alone, without any partner. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So all praise and all thanks belongs to you for distributing those blessings. So it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to thank Allah for the blessings that he gives other created beings. So we should be happy when Allah distinguishes someone with a blessing and ask Allah to increase them and to realize that this is part of our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that He gives, and a great means of drawing closer to Him. The author continues and says, because of this trait of recognizing the people of honor, they were devoted to giving everyone their due right, giving everyone what is due of their right, fulfilling all of the rights that people have. A parent has a particular right. Someone who has a position of leadership has a particular right. Someone who is an employee of yours has a particular right and honor. And all of those are unique and different, and giving everyone their due right. On the authority of Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be well pleased with him and honor his countenance, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, treat people according to their status. Treat people according to their status or their rank. And that's narrated by Ibn Asakir. And in another hadith on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam commanded us to treat people according to their status. And once again, this is still affirming the sanctity that every human being is owed, but that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew how to respect the rank and status that people had in society. And that didn't mean that he preferred them over other people, but that he respected where they were and treated them according to their status without taking anyone else's right away from them and without humiliating or putting down anyone else. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was only impressed. So there's a difference between treating people according to their rank or their status, but he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was only impressed, or he only liked a person based on their taqwa. So his preference sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that he liked and those that he loved, was in accordance to their degree of taqwa. So this is something separate, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that were close to his heart were people of taqwa, but that he salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he knew how to treat people accordingly. And that there once was two Magian soldiers who were part of the Persian Empire. They were sent by a governor from Yemen to Medina al-Munawwara, because Yemen was under the control of the Persian Empire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he saw these men, and they actually came to try to forcefully arrest the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and threaten him that you have to follow the Kisra, you have to follow the Persian emperor, and they tried to sort of strong arm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When they arrived to Medina and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them, they actually had the custom of growing out their mustache and shaving their beards. So they had very bushy mustaches and they would shave their beards. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like their appearance, and he did not like looking at them, because it goes against the sunnah. It goes against what is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of trimming the mustache and growing the beard. Anyway, despite the fact that he did not like to look at them, and he did not like their appearance, and in addition to that, they came to actually threaten the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when they came to him, being people who were sent by a king, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them particular respect that they were owed. So he told the Sahaba to feed them and to make sure that they had a place to stay and to arrange a place for them. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the next day, so when they threatened him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we will talk tomorrow, we won't get into a discussion today, let us talk tomorrow. So then the next day, as they were trying to strike fear into the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's protected by Allah. So he is the furthest of people from fear in that sense. The Prophet ﷺ asked them the next day, Man Rabbukuma, who is your Lord? They said, Kisra, our master, our leader, our Lord is Kisra, the king of Persia. And the Prophet ﷺ, this is one of his miracles, he said, Rabbi qatala rabbukuma, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Lord last night he killed your Lord. And actually this is something that's recorded in history, that the son of the king of Persia assassinated his father in order to assume the throne and take power from his father. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given news of that. So then when they went back to the governor in Yemen who had sent them, they said that we were told by the man who is claiming to be the Prophet and who is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Kisra was killed, and that there's no longer, he was killed by his son. So then the governor in Yemen was intelligent. He said, let us wait to hear what news comes from Persia. And almost a month later, the news arrived to them that on that same night that the Prophet said that the son had killed his father and that the king of Persia had been killed. But all of that to show, that's just a beautiful story about the mu'jiza, the kashf that the Prophet ﷺ had. But it goes to show, despite the fact that they did not have adab with the Prophet and that they were not beloved to the Prophet, because in that state they were disbelievers, they then became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ still honored them and gave them honorable treatment. And in addition to that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught the Muslims and he taught his companions to be people of exceptionally good treatment. That even after the Battle of Badr, when the companions captured 70 prisoners of war, that they had 70 captives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them to take care of those captives and to treat them well and to make sure that they were fed and taken care of. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were so intent and so excited to fulfill the commands of the Prophet ﷺ in order to do things with ihsan, and they are the imams of this spiritual path, the exemplars of this spiritual path radiallahu anhum, they actually would give the captives the best of their food. They would seek them out, they would set aside the best of what they had, and they would say, give this to the captives, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded us to take good care of them, right? So look at the treatment that they received at the hands of the community of the followers of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even if you look in today's world, countries that claim to be making progress and countries that seem to be very humanitarian, look at how their captives are treated. Look at how they capture and treat the prisoners who are their own citizens. And look at how they treat people who are aggressors against them when they capture them. Where are human rights? And look at 1400 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he established a standard of treatment and a standard of engagement that was loftier than any human society has ever been able to come with. And this is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And even above and beyond that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even taught us the treatment of animals, and that if a person mistreats their own animal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take them to account on the day of resurrection. So even animals have rights, and animals are deserving of a particular kind of treatment. And among the animals, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us those that were set by Allah as animals that could be eaten. And even those animals that are slaughtered and sacrificed and eaten, there is particular rulings related to their treatment, and that they have to be treated well and that there is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of the knife being sharpened, in terms of not allowing the animal to see other animals being sacrificed, and so forth. So look at this sublime understanding and these lofty character traits that were taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we see that there's a difference between treating people according to their status and rank, and recognizing the virtue that exists within people. So recognizing the virtue in the people of taqwa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا, and we created you into various tribes and peoples so that you may come to know one another. Who's the best of them? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honored of you with Allah are those of you who have the most taqwa, who have the most righteousness and piety. Now, so then the author continues, Sayyid al-Habib Umar, and he says, another narration from the time of the Sahaba, from the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Jubayr ibn al-Huwayrith narrated that Umar ibn al-Khattab consulted the Muslims over the compilation of the Diwan. The Diwan is like a ledger. It's a book of records that has people's names, and it basically classifies and has people's names all recorded in this ledger. So when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to compile this Diwan, he called upon Aqil ibn Abi Talib, Makhrama ibn Nawfal, and Jubayr ibn Mut'im, each of whom were genealogists of the Quraysh. They were people who specified in the genealogies and the lineages of the Quraysh. So then he said to them, register the people. How do you go in order? Who's mentioned first in the ledger? How do we classify? How do we have a system of classification in this ledger? So then Sayyidina Umar said, register the people according to their status. Begin with people based on their status. So when they started recording people in the ledger, they began with Banu Hashim. Then they began with Sayyidina Abu Bakr and his people, Bani Taym, his clan. And then they began, then they wrote Sayyidina Umar and his clan during his Khilafah. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, now he's the Khalifa, and he's the one who designated this responsibility for them to fulfill. When he saw that they had Banu Hashim, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr and his family, then Sayyidina Umar and his family, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu himself said, by Allah, I would have liked it to be this way. I wish it was this way. Allah knows that I wish this was the order of honor and status. But then he said, but begin with the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the status is determined in order of the closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, rather the classification should be with the relatives of the Prophet and not those who are actually the Khulafa. That's from his humility and his love of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He said, so begin with the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starting with the closest, until you place Umar where Allah has placed him, meaning himself. Until you place Umar where Allah has placed him. And this goes to show the adab that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in had with the family and relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, his own son, Abdullah ibn Umar, when they would give out stipends from Baytul Mal, that he would give certain stipends to people in the community, that his own son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he received a stipend of 2,000 dirhams. And Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd, who was Zayd, who was raised by the Prophet ﷺ and loved and very beloved, Zayd ibn Haritha, he was very beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. So his son, Usama ibn Zayd, he gave him 3,000. So his own son, he gave 2,000, and Usama ibn Zayd received 3,000. So his son asked him, he said, my father, why is it? And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar is older than Usama ibn Zayd. He had been involved more in the events from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so forth. He said, my father, Usama ibn Zayd, did not make hijrah before me. He is not older than me. What is the reason for this distinction that he's been given, such that you give him a larger stipend than you give me? So what did Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu say? Look at the humility. And this is really what we're talking about, recognizing honor. We talked about humility in the previous lesson. And eliminating envy, removing it, expunging it from the hearts. He said, radiallahu anhu, he said, he was more beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than you are. Why am I giving him a distinction? Because the Prophet ﷺ loved him more than he loves you, or loved you. And he said, look, and on top of that, and he said, and the Prophet ﷺ loved his father more than he loved your father, i.e. Umar ibn al-Khattab himself. He's telling his own son, the reason I'm treating him better is because the Prophet ﷺ loved him more than he loved you. And he loved his father, Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha, more than he loved your own father. Look at the adab that the Sahaba had with one another. That's not an easy thing to say. Not only is it not an easy thing to say, it's an even harder thing to act upon. But they followed up their words with action. And actually, their actions preceded their words in many instances. Radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, in addition to that, when he would see Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the son of Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would see his son, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he would say, As-salamu alayka ya ibn dhal janahain. He would say, As-salamu alaykum, O son of the one who has two wings. Because Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he was martyred in the Battle of Mu'tah, both of his arms were cut off. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah replaced his two arms with two wings, which he flies and soars in paradise with. So when he would see him, he would soften his heart and show the love that that would be given to the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would say, "Assalamu alayka ya ibn dhal janahain." And when he would see Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd, who we mentioned before, the son of Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha, he would say, "Assalamu alaykum ya amiri." Even though he's a much younger man, what would he say to him? He would say, "Assalamu alaykum, my commander." Why would he say that when he is the Khalifa? When Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab at the time was the Khalifa. But whenever he would see Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd, he would say, As-salamu alaykum ya amiri. Why did he do that? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last order that he gave before returning to his Lord salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi was that he made the general of an army, this army that was about to be sent out, he appointed Usama ibn Zayd as the general. And actually, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, they said Usama ibn Zayd, he was 18 years old at the time, approximately 18 years old. They said he's going to lead an army of very seasoned warriors and generals like Khalid ibn al-Walid and other Sahaba. He's going to lead them. And they started to question. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, the first thing I'm going to do is confirm the appointment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I'm not going to allow anything that he decided and anything that he came with to be changed. So then Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab would honor that years later, and he would say, As-salamu alaykum ya amiri. So we see the honor that they had. And then this relates to the next point about eliminating envy. The author says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدِ. Beware of envy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبِ. For truly envy eats away at good deeds just as fire eats away at wood. That envy consumes your good deeds the way that fire consumes wood. So we have to be very careful of envy. And this goes back to the point of celebrating and thanking Allah for blessings He gives other people. Alhamdulillah, O Allah, that You granted them a beautiful house. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, that You granted them shifa, even if the person saying Alhamdulillah is sick. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, You granted that person knowledge. Alhamdulillah, You granted them success. And that takes nothing away from you. That decreases you not one iota, rather, you are raised and elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author concludes the chapter with a quote by Imam al-Ghazali from Ihya Ulumuddin. The Imam al-Ghazali says, a person may envy someone who people praise, love, and honor, making him wish that that blessing be taken away from that person. When someone sees others are beloved and honored and praised by others, they might start to feel envy and wish that that honor or that blessing was revoked from that person because of the envy that he or she feels. He then finds no way to do this other than by slandering him. So then the person thinks to himself, okay, how do I get people to stop praising him? How do I get people to stop loving him? How do I deal with this envy, this vile disease in the heart? I'm going to slander the person. Oh, you know, they're not that great. They don't know what they're talking about. They're actually, you think that, no, they don't even know that much. No, you think that they did it? They didn't even do it. Someone else did it. So then that person starts to slander. And actually, they lied. Did you know that? Don't tell anybody, but they lied. And then you start to slander. And then you start to try to pollute that person's good honor. Wal-iyadu billah, may Allah protect us. Imam al-Ghazali continues, he desires that the person lose credibility so that people no longer honor and praise him because it burdens him to hear them do so. When he hears people saying, MashaAllah, look at this person, they're so good, they're so kind, they have such good adab, it burdens them. It's as if you stab them and you're adding salt to the wound. Imam al-Ghazali then says, this is the very essence of envy. And it differs from hatred. It differs from just hating a person, because envy incites a person to inflict upon, because anger makes you want to harm the person you're angry with. Hatred makes you want to harm the person that you hate. But envy makes you want to harm someone who could be a friend and a close companion, and maybe even your own family member. So envy can make an enemy out of a loved one. Whereas hatred, you hate someone that you don't like already, and that's still a problem, that's still a disease. But envy is even more dangerous because it pits you against someone who is honored and blessed by Allah, and someone who might actually be very beloved to you. So the people of the spiritual path, they recognize the people of honor. They're happy when honor and blessings and goodness are bestowed upon others, and they give everyone their due right, and they have humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they expunge envy and they expunge envy from their hearts. So this is the sixth trait. We've now come to the end of the sixth trait, and inshallah next week we'll come to the seventh trait, which is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So now, inshallah, we'll take some questions, and whatever questions you have, you can just ask them, and inshallah, we'll spend the time remaining answering them. So there's a question here regarding the story of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. He said, how did Sayyidina Umar, how did his son, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, who is a very highly respected and revered, and all of the companions are respected and people deserving of respect, how did he react to his father's reasoning? And did this serve as a motivation for that generation? He accepted his father's reasoning for a number of reasons. One, his father is more knowledgeable than he is, right? So it's his father, and he is a person of knowledge, and the reasoning is connected to the honor that emanates from closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And both the companions and the family of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, both of them are deserving of honor and distinction in unique ways, but their honor and their distinction stems from their connectedness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most honored and beloved of all creation. Na'am. So he accepted it, and when he understood it in that way, he probably was happy and said, oh, that's a beautiful reasoning. That's a beautiful reason. And he probably learned something from his blessed father and from that lesson. There's another question here. Can we purposely compliment and honor others in a effort to emulate the Sahaba and in the hope of reward for it? That's a beautiful question. It's actually a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to call people by names that are beloved to them. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should honor people, as long as there is a line, as long as it's not exaggerated and it's not flattery. So what ends up happening is that people might see it as, oh, these are my friends. Oh, mashallah, you're so knowledgeable. You're so this, you're so that, because we're a clique, right? No, but actually to look for honor in all different kinds of people and to compliment them and to be a person of positivity, a person of uplifting words, and a person who finds good in all of these people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, there was once a young boy who had a pet bird that died. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he gave the young boy a nickname and he consoled him about the passing of his bird. So he said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughayr? Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughayr? Oh, Abu Umair, giving him a nickname, a name of endearment. He said, Oh, Abu Umair, what did the birdie do? What happened to the bird? Right, consoling him about the passing of his bird and giving him a positive nickname. And you see this in his treatment of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this is definitely something we can do, expecting and hoping for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something that engenders love within the community, love within between brothers and sisters, and is of one of the greatest virtues that we should strive to cultivate in our lives and in our communities. Now, there's another question here. Should we honor people based on association? Now, for example, honoring someone solely because they are part of an honorable group or family. Now, so generally speaking, that is something that, once again, honoring someone and highlighting their honor doesn't mean taking anything away from anyone else. And even if that person has shortcomings or flaws or mistakes, you can actually honor them in accordance with that association. So an example, Imam Malik rahimahullah, the governor of Medina, was from the extended family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a descendant from the extended family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the governor had ordered the torture of Imam Malik, and he was tortured. So when Imam Malik finally returned home and his shoulder had been dislocated, he went through great difficulty. His students said to him, make dua against this man. And Imam Malik said, every time I was struck, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, because he is a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't want any of the Prophet's relatives to be punished on the day of judgment by my account because of me. So I actually asked Allah to forgive him. And even if someone is falling short and is doing something wrong, or actually going against the honor that Allah has given them, you can remind them. And you can say, MashaAllah, you are from the family of a noble scholar. You are the descendant of a particular righteous person. MashaAllah, we benefited so much from that righteous person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And I pray that Allah preserves that righteousness within his descendants. And this is a responsibility that Allah has placed on your shoulders. So you're able to honor them without exaggeration and without flattery and in its proper place. Now, so it is something that is still good to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf about the two orphans that Sayyidina Al-Khidr and Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when they rebuilt a wall that covered a treasure, a buried treasure that was the inheritance of two orphans. When Sayyidina Al-Khidr is saying the reasoning for it, he said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And one of their forefathers was of the Salihin, was a righteous man. So Allah sent me to rebuild this wall to preserve their inheritance until they come of age and they're able to use it without other people taking it away from them. Now, so you see even in that story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms the blessings that come by way of righteous ancestry and forefathers. And it's also a responsibility, and it's also needs to be established properly and within the proper balance and limits. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Al-Fatiha bi niyatil qabul wa tamam kulli su'l wa salah al-sha'n zahiran wa batinan wa bi niyatil futuh wal munuh wa salah al-jasad wal ruh. And with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to put everything in its proper place, and that we treat everyone with wisdom, and we honor all of Allah's creation, and we grant true honor to its rightful people while not taking anything away from anyone else within creation, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who are happy at the blessings he gives others, and that we are of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures from the disease of envy and makes us a means for spreading these noble virtues within the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and within all of humanity. على هذه النية وكل نية صالحة جامعة شاملة لخيرات الدنيا والآخرة. الفاتحة. بسم الله. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And inshallah, I believe an announcement will be sent out. But as of next week, we will start at 7:15, starting from next week, inshallah. And then the following week, we will start at 7 p.m. There's just some slight changes due to the timing of Maghrib changing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.